to the theme verses for the series. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not things that we can do in our own flesh, but mighty through God. And this is how we truly need to understand that the only way that we're going to have victory over our flesh and victory over sins is when we put our, when we use God's methods and God's ways. And it talks about doing casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That those things that rise up against what we know is true and what we know is right, when they exalt themselves up, those are things we're supposed to cast down. We're supposed to bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let's think about here for a second the a little quick review. Remember, we started off with this idea about brainwashed Christianity. We talked about how many people today say, well, you Christians are just brainwashed. Well, the idea is that our brains are dirty with the things of society, and we need to have our brains washed with the Word of God. And you say, how do you do that? How in the world can you have that much victory in your thought life? Well, the first thing we need to realize is that we have a created mind. That is not something on our own. We are not a self-made person, not a self-made man. We have been created by God, and everything is done by God, and God has given us. We learned about how he allows us to have a certain amount of mentality, but how we make the deliberate choices in this. And this created mind that we have, we need to realize that if God created it and God tells us we can have victory, guess what? Who knows better than the creator of it? And we talked about the realization of a changed mind. That means that there are some things in our life we need to change our mind about. There's just some things that is in our minds and in our hearts that we need to look at through the eyes of the Bible and look at through the words of God and say, look, I need to change my mind. Remember, Paul was up on Mars Hill preaching to all the philosophers of the day and says, look, you're just not thinking right about God. You think he's made with hands. You think he's made with gold and silver and things. But he says you need to change your mind. And then we realize the realization of a conscientious mind that someday we will stand before God and someday we will give an account for the thoughts that we have. All those different things. Then we saw the who left the brain door open, talking about the different ways that our minds can be affected, even as believers, in a bad way. First, if you become complacent with your mind, become complacent with your thoughts. It's the idea that I know everything already. I do not need to grow. I do not need to learn. And we need to understand that we always need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we become complacent, we don't listen to the preaching. When we become complacent, we don't dig into the Word of God and study. When we become complacent, we don't listen to godly counselors. We also talk about the careless mind, the person who takes the Word of God and comes to church on Sunday and hears what's preached, hears what's taught, even maybe reads the passages of Scripture, but they're careless with the information they've been given. They just toss it aside and they say, oh, it's not really that important. And then last week we looked at the contaminated mind and why it's important to have a closed brain door, because it will keep your vessel clean, value-centered, and a voice clear. So we come to this idea of the closed mind, and we're going back to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and we're going to look at some of these passages of Scripture as we finish up this section and talking about the closed mind. The first thing I want you to see is a closed mind guards against heretical deception. Chapter 4, verse number 1. You guys know that I get stuck on some words there. It'll be okay. Now, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. See, if we have a closed mind to what God has... If we close our mind to the things of this world and to the trash of this world, anything that's contrary to the Bible, to the casting down the imaginations of the things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, guess what? We will not be falling for these heretics and the deception they're trying to push. And the devil attacks. He will never stop attacking us. He is on a mission that will not end until he's cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And we're looking forward to that day when he is cast in there. And he uses many different arsenals. And Revelation talks about how he's the accuser of the brethren. And when Peter talks about him being this lion, talking about this devil roaring lion, he's talking about being an opposer. He's even a person who is an imitator. And he talked even to Jesus. He told him, he says, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He's talking about he was the one trying to imitate. And the truth is, the devil is going to continue on using men to try to deceive mankind. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. Does that mean we quit and throw in a towel? No. We listen to what the Word of God says. We keep our minds and our hearts clear so that way we can be used by God. And look what it says about these evil men, these seducers. They wax worse and worse. They're deceiving, talking about how they deceive others, but they're also being deceived. There is a lot of people who out have been deceived, and they continue to be deceived by the devil and by other people, and they wax worse and worse. I think they're sincere in their beliefs. I met many people that are parts of false religions and false cults, and you know, they seem like they're really sincere. They really believe. They've been deceived because what they believe is contrary to the Bible. And Paul gives this encouragement to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, one of the different attacks of the devil, and I think the thing that he leaves as one of his most powerful weapons is the fact that he is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. He uses deception. Look at what the devil has an arsenal full of weapons. He will accuse, he will oppose, he will imitate, but one of his most effective weapons is deception. Even in Revelation it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And the devil loves deceiving people about immorality. And it's amazing how much that we have gone so far away from the Bible. People living together before marriage, and they've reasoned this out into their minds and their heart. Young people that having sexual intercourse before they ever graduate from high school, and they've reasoned that it's okay. The devil has deceived so many people when it comes to immorality. They've deceived so many people when it comes to drugs and when it comes to alcohol. But I think, and even when it comes to ending their life, that people think that if they committed a suicide, they will end it all. The devil's deceived the world and so much, and that we never realize, but one of his greatest tools and one of his most sophisticated weapons of deception comes to when it's a spiritual issue. He saves his most sophisticated deception for the spiritual. You think about it, how many people around the world are deceived about eternal life? How many people around the world are deceived into believing that if they work hard enough and do enough good enough things that they'll go to heaven? They've been deceived. What they believe sounds so right. They might even say, my church teaches it, my parents taught it to me, and so many people believe it. How could it be possibly wrong? But the devil has deceived so many into believing this. So, but if we keep our brain door closed, if we will not be opened up to what it says in verse number 1, seducing spirits and the doctrines of the devil, we shut the door, we cast down the imagination to the things that are exalting itself against the knowledge of God, we will not fall trapped for this deception of the devil. Think about how the Bible talks about how even though it seems like these people are well-intended and that these people are good people and they seem like they're angels of light, the Bible talks about that. It says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore is no great thing. It's not that big of a thing that preachers or people who stand up and say they're trying to do what's right, or says that even using the Bible, that them as ministers, if his ministers, the ministers of the devil, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. It's that they've deceived so many people to believing into their truths. That's why you have people filling up churches today, and the people that are not preaching the Word of God, and they're not preaching the true salvation message and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're filling up churches and the mosque and all types of places all around because they've been deceived into believing these ministers are ministers of righteousness. But the truth is, whose end shall be according to their works. We need to be careful that we be not deceived. One of the reasons why we need to shut the brain door and we need to be careful in what we consider and what we allow into our ear gates and our mind gates and our eye gates is because we do not want to be deceived by the devil. I mean, he has just done such a good job with this, and we need to be really careful what we listen to, what we watch, even what things are done in the name of Jesus, because if it's contrary to the Bible, it's something we should get rid of. Next thing, a closed mind guards against hypocritical demands. A closed mind guards against hypocritical demands. Now, I know I might not win any popularity contest with this one, but it's something that I think needs to be said here. Look what it says here in verses 2 and 3 in chapter number 4. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, it's amazing why what people believe that cannot be backed up by the book. Now, I want to separate something here. I hope you understand. I think we should live a holy life because the Bible tells us to live a holy life. But there are people who try to put demands on others that are just not found in Scripture. There are people who try to make proselytes of themselves and try to force certain things on people that's just not found in the Bible. There's a man who in the Philippines that each year allows himself to be hung up, in a sense, to be crucified on a cross every year just to pay for his sins. I mean, that's just sad. They become, and he thinks this needs to be done in order for his sins to be forgiven. And we need to be careful that we do not allow, we skipped ahead, didn't we? Oh, why didn't you guys tell me? I'm just, it's this idea here, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. We need to be careful that our convictions and our principles are always Bible-based. Always comes from the Word of God. If not, we're going to lose the generation to come. If not, we're going to lose church members. If we do not preach and teach what the Word of God says and build things from precept upon precept and help us to understand the truth of where things come from. I've told you before, there's certain things on TV that I wouldn't watch because there's a biblical principle that's behind it. There are certain places I wouldn't go because there's a biblical principle behind it. It's not just because I want to be some type of dictator and be some type of monarch and say, this is the way it's going to be at our church, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. No, no, there's biblical principles, but so many times we have not taught those biblical principles to the point where it becomes hypocritical in their demands. We were talking in my devotions with my family last night that we need to be careful to talking about the little thing that's in the person's eye and the beam, and how many times we need to get rid of the beams in our own eyes before we start worrying about everybody else's little splinters they have in their eyes. And we need to be careful about the hypocritical demands that people place on others. You know, it reminds me of the story of Naaman. Naaman in the Old Testament was willing to give Elisha 10 talents of silver, 1,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment to a man that could heal him for his leprosy. But Elisha told him, no, all you need to go down and do is dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He was mad about it. He says, why in the world could that happen? And then, you know, this person that worked with him, his servant, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. We need to be careful that we do not try to put extra things upon people that are just not found in the Bible, because that will push people away. And we need to be cautious when it comes to that. The Holy Spirit will not contradict the Bible. Some people says, you know what, God told me to do this, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. We need to be careful because he is not going to contradict his word. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything that is not in the Holy Scriptures. The Bible even tells us that, and that he will, the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. So the Holy Spirit's going to guide you to do what the Bible says. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show the things to come. Proverbs 30 verses 5, 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that has put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, what does it mean? We would never add anything to God's word when it comes to the truth of the gospel, but how many times do we try to add to the word of God and we're trying to force our own opinions and our own thoughts upon somebody else? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Holy living is something that you need to look to the Lord and let the Lord teach you and guide you and help you understand what his word says. And as you have an open mind to what the word of God says, God will be able to teach you and show you how you should live your lives. But too many times people have put hypocritical demands. They're not living for God. They're living whatever way they want. They see a new Christian, a young Christian, or a young person, and want to squash everything that comes to their lives and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, before they even have a chance to understand why. And we need to be careful that we teach the principles of the Word of God. Now, do we have leadership standards here? Yes, we have leadership standards here. And there's a reason why. And that's the reason we have learned in the Word of God what we believe holy living is. What we must guard our minds against any teaching that makes demands not found in God's Word. And God's word is pure and is sure. And in spite of the devil and in spite of fear and in spite of everything else, you can live your life according to it. So be careful. And that's what it's talking about here. There are people out there that was forbidding people to marry, for commanding them to abstain from meats. And those things were not found in the Bible. And Paul is telling them, keep your closed mind. If you're going to, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we're going to cast it away. Even if someone else is trying to put a higher restriction on us. Next thing, a closed mind will guard against hopeless diversions. A closed mind will guard against hopeless diversions. Now there are different things that will cause us to lose our focus, that will divert our attention. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. It is amazing how many people are well versed into nothing. You might think that it's amazing how many people know so much about things that really doesn't matter. And I've fallen in that trap before. There's been certain things I've enjoyed that I've let certain things divert my attention from being focused on what God wants me to do. If we're going to have a closed mind door, we're not going to listen to everybody else's opinions about what they think is right. We're not going to listen to the wise fables. We're not going to say that, the babbling that goes on. Instead, we're going to focus on what the Word of God says. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1 and 4, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. There are so many people that are focused and so interested in certain things that they spend their whole time focusing on trying to figure out one little thing in the Word of God or one little thing in this traditions of men or the genealogies of men, that they miss the whole point of Christian living, the whole point of holy living. And we need to be careful that we guard against it. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is going to matter in eternity is the thing we must look at. And we must say, yes, I'm able to have fun and do this. I am able to enjoy this. I'm able to gain knowledge about this. But is it really what's going to help me in the future? Is it really expedient for me? Is it really what's best for me? Because if I have a closed brain door, I'm going to have to cast certain things out. My mind only has 10,000 thoughts a day, and I need to say that this portion is not as important for me to think about what will matter in eternity. And I must make sure that I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. When we become interested in a certain subject, or we become interested in a certain thought, that we let that control our minds and we let that control our brains, and we become determined, I want to know more, I want to know more, I want to know more, until we push God right out the door, until we push God's thought process and having a clear mind right out the door. You think about the single-mindedness of Paul. Think about the single-mindedness of Paul. And now I behold, go bound into the Spirit, in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Paul often, when he talked to Corinthians, he said, look, I just came, and all I wanted to know amongst you was Christ and Him crucified. And he's saying, save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every saying that bounds and afflictions abide me. He's saying here, I'm going to Jerusalem. I know that there's something waiting there for me, something that is not good. And then he says, but none of these things move me. He's saying, I'm not going to let any of this move me, because I'm single-minded in the thing. I want to do those things that count in eternity. I had the opportunity to do all these other things, but the thing that counts most, I want to count in eternity. Neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course of joy and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. His mind was focused on finishing it. He didn't even count his life dear unto himself. He wanted to finish his course. He wanted to finish his ministry. And that's not going to happen. And that's not going to happen when we leave our brain doors open for everything to divert our attention from what's most important in life. Sometimes you look at your schedule of the whole week, and I got to lay my schedule out for a week, and I never get everything done because my list is never going to always get done. And but I look at it and say, okay, what matters most? What's going to count in eternity? And that's how we got to look at our lives. What is going to matter most, and what is going to count in eternity? And then when you look at that, there's many things you can just cross right off the list, because there are many things that we do that just does not matter in eternity. Once again, it's not unlawful to you. It's not unlawful to you to do the things. It's not as a bad thing, but you can be so worked up about doing good things, it can keep us from the best things. If you have a closed brain door, it will guard against the diversions. Next thing, hinder diligence. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know, bodily exercise profit a little bit. I was one time my pastor that when I left back at Baptist Bible, he was a bigger guy, even bigger than me. And he preached a message about this, and he had been on a diet for a little while trying to lose some weight, and he preached that message, and he talked for 2 or 3 minutes about exercising the body just for a little bit. He says after church he was going to go home and get a jelly donut because exercising the body just helps a little bit, and that's not what we should be focused on. And I thought that was, when I heard him say that, he said, I'm going to go home and get myself a jelly donut. But, you know, bodily exercise profits a little bit. Godliness profits unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. And it amazes me that so many people will be so disciplined and so diligent in some areas that have such little importance. We got to watch the big game. I'm guilty of that. If the Steelers are on, I'll record it and I'll watch it when it's the appropriate time. I'm not going to watch it all the time. I'll wait till the profitable time to do it. But, you know, could I give that up? I should be willing to. Watching the news, they would never miss the 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock news. Never miss Fox News. But how many of us are willing to miss our Bible reading? See, there's a problem there. We become so interested in certain things, so disciplined, that we got to make sure we eat lunch. We got to make sure that we go to work. Yeah, those things are good. But those things are not the most important. We got to work out. And we gotta run. There are some things that we become so disciplined that if we would miss it, we would be devastated. What I want us to get to the point is that when we miss being spiritually exercised, that's when we'd be devastated. I can't not get up and read my Bible. I can't not get up and pray because if you have a closed mind door, you're gonna see the value of the Word of God and the value of praying, and it's not going to be hindering your diligence you need to spend with God. And I think this is the last one, is a closed mind door guards against a harmful departure. A harmful departure. And you see in verse number 1, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, because they left their brain door open to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, because they left their brain door open to those things that exalted themselves up against the knowledge of God. They didn't bring things into captivity. There are people who have departed from the faith. And he shares his heart here. And I wonder how many Christians would still be ministering today if they had guarded their minds. I wonder how many people would be sitting in these chairs instead of leaving for some type of church that doesn't preach the gospel maybe the same way, or doesn't preach on sin, or doesn't hold to the word of God as dear, if they had guarded their brain doors a little bit better. Or how many people are sitting at home today, don't have any interest in going to church, but they're believers, but they've departed from the faith because they did not guard their brain door. I know you say that sounds childish, the brain door and things like that, but it's understanding, you get it. If they would have taken more time and been guarded in their minds, then many of these things could still be serving. Think of some of these sad phrases. For Demas has forsaken me. Thou hast left thy first love. For some already have turned aside after Satan. So you depend on God, but can God depend upon you? There's harmful departures. I think that the word famous and faithful are the same word in God's book of remembrance. And we need to remember that our actions affect others. Remember what it says at that last verse in verse number 16. We looked at that last week. Where it said, take heed, continue. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I love to think about the people that are maybe in heaven because of things that we've done here at the church. I love to think about, you know, because we help support missions, that we'll have fruit that abound to that account even in heaven. Or we'll see people that maybe we never knew just because we passed out a track. Or we'll see people that we taught in Sunday school or junior church, people we never knew that we made an impact on. Because you know how God brings people to Christ? It's not about one person usually winning one person that day. It's building precept upon precept, little by little. One person waters, one person plants, one person harvests. I know some of you had to step out. But that's not, God brings people to Christ in this way. And that's why I am, guess, really encouraged by this idea that, man, there are going to be people in heaven because of me. But if I look at it that way, Don't I have to look at it the other way too? I wonder if there'd be people in hell because of something I didn't do. Now, we don't like to think about it that way, and that's a pretty solemn thought there, but are there people who we know that we have not heard, that who have not heard? Are there people you know who have not heard? Romans 2:24 says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you." And 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." You know, will there be people in hell because of something you did not do? I know it's their sins that are taking them and sending them to hell. Don't get me wrong, it's not because of something you've done. But many times we've been given an opportunity or privilege. The Bible talks about having the blood of a person's hands, blood of a person on your hands because you did not warn like you should have. And in the books of the Corinthians, it talks about dealing with a weaker brother and being a stumbling block. It talks about how individuals came into a church and they saw what was going on and they got right with God. You know, is there people going to be in heaven because of you? But is there going to be someone in hell because of something you didn't do? I don't like to think about that. But I also know that I'm going to be accountable for the opportunities I had here. And I need to take good part of those opportunities. I need to make sure I'm making good use of them. So think about those things. See, a closed brain door will help me understand my actions affects others. God uses human instruments to bring people to Christ. And when I rebel against God and don't try to bring people to Christ, am I being that stumbling block that's talked about in the Bible? We want to bring people to Christ. I know I do. Let's make sure we're being used. And I like the idea of thinking people are going to be in heaven because of me. I don't like thinking about it the other way. But if we have a closed brain door, we'll see that our minds and our actions affects others. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.